Let's pray again before we go into the word, and we're going to talk about what it means falling from grace. Because I grew up thinking falling from grace meant I wasn't performing good enough. I wasn't being good enough, and God was disappointed in me, and I had to get back in line, and I had to get right with God. You ever heard anybody say, you need to get right with God? I said, well, I am right with God. Well, what do you mean? Your life looks like a wreck. And I said, yeah, my life might look like a wreck, but I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am right with God. And that's what getting right with God means. So let's pray. Father, thank you for opening our eyes to your word. Speak to us what you want us to hear this morning, Lord, where we can go forth and just shine your light in Jesus' name. Amen. So falling from grace, and we're going to be in Galatians, the last 4:21 through, we're going to go into a little bit of chapter 5. So we've been going verse by verse through the book of Galatians. And for you guys, for the new people, we were talking about Galatians was a city that Paul went to that was mainly composed of Gentiles. And they had heard the message that Jesus Christ had died and paid for their sins. And these other people had come in, namely the Jewish people, the Judaism group had come in and said, hey, yeah, it's by faith, but you need to get circumcised. And that was a covenant given to Abraham. And so we see that today in religion, right? That everybody, and most people will agree, most Christian churches will agree, oh yeah, it's by faith. But be careful when you hear somebody say that. But you need to act a certain way, do a certain thing, and behave a certain way, and you can't do this, you can't, that's old commandment stuff. Okay. Now, I'm not saying, and every time you preach grace, you're going to get misunderstood. I had a little quote there. Hey, Sean, good morning. And but every time you preach grace, you're going to get misunderstood. Yet people are going to walk out and think, you know, I can just do whatever I want to do, which is true. You can. You're free. But the question is, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Because God has given you a new heart, a mind after Christ, so you should want to go do good things. We don't want to go around murdering and killing and robbing and thieving. We don't want to do that. So understand that when we preach grace, that you are free, absolutely free from the old law, the old Moses law that says, thou shalt not, and condemns you every time you look at it. And Mona and I and Al were talking this weekend about our previous experiences with church and religions and the Catholic Church and whatever church you belong to. A lot of people don't want to go to church. I mean, look around. The attendance in churches is down. Because one thing is, guys, we go to church a lot and all we hear is how bad we are. Oh, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You've fallen short of the glory of God. And what did we talk about Romans 3:23 last week? Don't forget the next verse. At Romans 3:23 says, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. But don't stop there, and are freely justified by Jesus Christ, by the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're justified by his blood. So that's the good news. The bad news is we're all sinners, or used to be. Now the good news is we are in him. So we are righteous now. And people go, oh, you can't say that. Well, if I base it on my performance, I surely can't. But if I base it on his performance, I can say, Al, you're righteous. And you can go, whoa, I don't feel righteous. Well, you are. Why? What makes you righteous? Your belief, your faith. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So fallen from grace. So we're going into Galatians, and it says in 4:21, tell me, you who want to be under the law. And this is Paul talking to the Galatians. Remember, the Galatians had been set free. They had heard the news of Jesus Christ, which is good news. And, you know, and here again, a lot of people don't want to go to church because all they hear is bad news. All they hear is you need to confess. You've been bad. You need to confess. You need to repent. And we misuse those words. Confession only means agreeing with God. You know, oh, you need to confess all your sins. All that means is you need to agree with God. Yeah, I'm not perfect, God. Okay. Now, believe that I am the Lord. Yes, I do. That's confession. Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved. What else I got to do, Chuck? Nothing. Ooh, that message doesn't go over too well to people that are trying to work for their salvation. That message doesn't hit. You know, you got a guy over here that's working really, really hard to be really holy and be really righteous in his own self. And then along comes grace message of Paul and says, all you got to do is believe. Huh? Wait, I'm doing all these good things. Don't you see? And we go, no, no, no. You're not doing anything good without him. Without him, you're doing nothing good. So he says, tell me, you who want to be under the law, talking about the Moses law, don't you hear the law? Don't you hear what it says? You can't do it. You can't. The law is standing against you. In fact, the Bible says if you're still under the law, you're still under a curse. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to be that curse for us, to pay our penalty. What the wrath that should be upon us was put upon his son. Wow. Think about that for a minute. God loves us that much. So everybody in here say, God loves me. God loves me just like I am. He's not in love with a future version of you. I say this all the time because we get in our mind that God doesn't love me yet, but he'll love me if I clean up my act and I quit thinking these thoughts. And I guess, remember what a sin is. All you got to do is think it. Ooh, I'm indicted. Everybody indicted? Yeah. But everybody's righteous. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Everybody that believes. Not everybody. We say that's universalism. There's a religion out there or a denomination called universalism. And they believe that once Jesus died, everybody's saved no matter what. No, it says whoever will believe. Okay? And we see that lining up right now in the world. We see people that are lining up on the side of the Lord and the people are lining up on the side of the evil. And we can see that happening. So don't you hear the law? The law, what he's saying is you're indicted under the law. You cannot keep the law. And we think of the law as the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, but there's another 603. And no one can keep them. And we've kind of beat that in the ground the last few Sundays. But for it is written, Galatians 4:22, it is written that Abraham had two sons. Now, Paul's going to make this argument about the free woman and the bond slave woman. And he's going to talk about the freedom that we have and compare the two. So Abraham had two sons, one by a slave and the other by a free woman. Now, if you remember the story of Abraham, he had a wife named Sarah. Okay. And God came to Abraham and said, Sarah is going to have a baby. And they start laughing about it, right? They're like, you're crazy. I tell my people this all the time. I say, God is crazy. God does crazy things, you know, and also God is crazy about you. And we don't see that. All we hear is, oh, God's going to get me. God's going to get me. And that's the message that's preached. No, God is not out to get you except to get your heart. That's it. God loves you. He's pursuing you all the time. And we're the ones sticking our hand out going, because we don't understand who he is. Who would stick their hand out to their own father and say, Dad, I don't want to go anywhere with you today. Your true father, your loving father. Who would say, you know, hey, Dad, I don't appreciate anything today. I don't want you to talk to me today. It's that longing for the Father. It's when we cry, Abba, Father, our true Father. When we realize how good he is. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. The kindness, not his wrath, not I'm going to get you. If I have somebody that's going to get me, what do? We turn and run. Or we hide, like Adam and Eve did. Right? Adam and Eve, when they ate the fruit and disobeyed God, and they really didn't believe God, belief comes before disobedience. Because if you don't believe someone, yeah, you're going to disobey them because you don't believe them. So they didn't believe what God said. They ate of the fruit. What did they do? They ran and hid. Why? Because they think God's mad at them now. You know, and God's all the time just wants to keep us from that danger. He wants to keep, he's jealous of us. It's just like we were talking about spanking kids this morning, me and Mona and Maria. You know, hey, you got to get those kids disciplined or they're going to run crazy. You know, so it is written, Abraham had two sons, one by a slave and the other by a free woman. So Sarah was the free woman and Hagar was her slave, her maiden slave. And so it goes on to say, but the one by the slave was born as a result of the flesh. Now listen to this. While the one by the free woman was born through the promise. What happens when we don't believe? Abraham really didn't believe. Because what happens when you don't believe? You start getting nervous. Well, God, you said, you promised that I was going to have a son through Sarah, particularly, and that son is going to be blessed, and that all the nations of the world are going to be blessed through that son. And you promised all this, but I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. So we get nervous and we start looking for other options. So Sarah comes to Abraham and says, what? Take my handmaiden, or take my slave and have sex with her and have a baby. Maybe that's what God meant. And then we go error, and we make an error. And then we end up saying, no, God said, nope, that's not it. That's not it. Remember, she was kicked out of the house. She said, now that she's had a son, she has contempt for me. And so Sarah kicked her out, and that was Hagar. And then so we get nervous, and we don't start seeing things happening, so we try to handle it ourselves. And so it says, these things are being taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, that's where the law was given. Moses went up on Mount Sinai and was given the Ten Commandments. And then other laws are added after that. And it says one is from Mount Sinai and bears children into slavery. And this is Hagar. Now, Hagar represents Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. Well, what is he saying here? He's just saying that there's another Jerusalem. I know it's confusing. There's another Jerusalem, and it's the new Jerusalem. And God has set us free from the old law and the old slavery. That's all he's saying. And he says, for it is written, rejoice, childless woman, unable to give birth, burst into song and shout, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate woman will be many more numerous than those of the woman with a husband. Now think about it. Jesus came. He died. He paid our sin debt. He rose. His own people, the Jews, his chosen people, did what? Rejected him. The Gentiles, the good news goes to the Gentiles who never had a covenant. They never had a promise from God. They were never under the Moses law. And this is the funny thing about our churches today. They want to go under that Moses law. It says, it's never for you. It was never intended for you. And the ones that were never given the old law more numerous. The believers from the Gentiles are more numerous from the Jews. And it's still so today. It's still today true. Most Jews do not believe that Jesus was Christ. But you go to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles embrace that message. Because we were the ones without any hope. We were the ones without any covenant. And Jesus comes along and says, I love you, and this is how much I love you. I'm going to send my only son. And he's going to die a gruesome death for you. And he's the only one that can forgive our sins, because his blood is the only holy blood. We can cut ourselves and shed blood all day. It don't matter. But when the Son of God shed his blood, the Bible says there's no remission of sins, there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. Whose blood? The Holy One of Israel, Jesus' blood. And so this is what he's saying, that the Jews are going to reject it. And he says, now you too, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of the promise. So us Gentiles, we are children of the promise. But just as then the child born as a result of the flesh persecuted the one born as a result of the spirit, so also now. We see it today. We see it today. We see evil against good. It's in all the movies. It's in all the plots. Every movie that's ever been made has to have a bad guy, and they have to have a hero. And that's the theme of the world, because we all know as soon as you start to do something good, somebody's going to come against you. You ever done the honest thing, Mona? You ever done something honest and it comes back and it's like no good deed goes unpunished, right? You try to do the right thing and somebody takes advantage of you. You know, we've all had it happen. And you're going to have that happen to you. As a Christian, as a believer, our heart is to help people. And guess what? Some people are going to look at that as a weakness and an opportunity to use you. And they're going to use you and abuse you. And never say thank you and never think and never and not miss a beat and go to sleep at night and sleep like a baby. It amazes me. It amazes me all around the world, the horrendous things that can happen and people can do to other people, and they can actually go to sleep and not care because they have not the Spirit of God. And so we're still seeing this persecution today. Anybody that's righteous, anybody that's holy is getting persecuted. You too, Daxon. Yes, I know you're persecuted really bad. You got it so bad. You got mama to give you a bottle. You got everything you need, but you're going to cry about it anyway. You'll learn. how nice would it be to go back to your mom's arms and not have to worry about anything, right? So, but what does the scripture say? Drive out the slave and her son, for the son of the slave will never be a co-heir with the son of the free woman. What he's saying is one day, guys, we're going to all live together without all this peace and strife, without all these problems, without all these issues. There's a new Jerusalem coming, and where it's not going to be no good deed ever goes punished. It's going to be, we're going to do the right thing and everybody's going to be happy in the Lord. And so it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of a slave, but of the free woman. Amen? We're free. That means we don't have to do religion. We don't have to go in and do the cross or take this or take that or kiss the saints when we walk in or whatever people do. You know, we can be free. We don't have to come to church in a suit and tie. Praise the Lord. You know, when I was growing up in the Baptist church, if you didn't have a tie on, oh, you ain't living right, brother. Where's your tie? Come on, man, you got to represent. I said, I am. Okay, Jesus is in my heart. Okay, you know, I'm representing. I don't need to represent on the outside. Jesus had real harsh words for those people that walked around with the big robes on, saying long prayers, wanting to be seen by men, wanted the choice seats in the synagogue. Oh, I'm on the front row. I'm holier than you. Sean, you need to move back a few seats. That kind of attitude. There you go. No, you don't. You know who you are. You know who you are. And that's the thing. That's another thing, guys. We see today people struggling with identity. Some of them don't even know what sex they are anymore. Well, why is this? Because they're not listening to who the true Father is, who loves them. I created you male and female. Okay? Well, don't be so confused. The father of confusion is who? The devil. He wants to get people confused to who they are and who their father is. And you can have no peace in that kind of life. If you don't know who your daddy is, you don't have any peace. Because you don't have any hope. Because if we're going to be a co-heir with Christ, well, what does he have? He has everything. So we're going to have everything. Amen. Thank you, Tanya. For freedom, Christ set us free. So it says, stand firm then and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. It amazes me, guys, how many people hear the freedom word. And I'm convinced people don't want to be free. It's just like the children of Israel. They escaped slavery in Egypt. And they're out in the wilderness. And they're like, we want to go back. Moses says, God has set you free. You're no longer a slave. Yeah, but at least we had something to eat. And then what did God do? He said, oh, you want something to eat? I'll give you something to eat. I'll give you the manna. And Jesus has now become our manna from heaven. He says, I am the bread of life. And he who eats of me will never hunger again. What is he talking about? He's talking about that spiritual fulfillment. He said, he who drinks of me will never, who drinks the living water, him, will never thirst again. Wow. And the woman at the well said, I want some of that water. He said, you're looking at me. You're looking at me. I'm going to give you that spiritual water. And so why people want to go back to the law and become religious is beyond me. I was delivered from religion, guys. And this is the message Paul's preaching. Galatians, you've been set free by the blood of Christ. Why do you want to go now and do get circumcised and do all these traditions? What does it matter? And you're putting yourself back under the yoke of slavery. And you're putting yourself back into a religion. Take note, Paul says, I'm telling you that if you get yourself circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets himself circumcised that he's obligated to do the entire law. 613 commandments. Good luck with that. Not going to make it, right? So you who are trying to be justified by the law, which is most religions, they're trying to be justified by how their performance is, how good they're doing. If you're doing that, you are alienated from Christ. He says, you have fallen from grace. Now we know the true meaning of that. Because like I say, growing up, everybody would see somebody, oh, this guy's been going to church for 5 years. Now all of a sudden he's not here anymore. Where's Johnny? Oh, he's back on the bottle. He's back doing the drugs. He's back chasing the women. He's back doing this. He's back doing that. And everybody's, oh, he's fallen from grace. No, he hasn't. No, he hasn't. He's just in the world. Fallen from grace means you've actually gotten religious. And now you're trying to do your own self-righteous works and make your own self look good and walk in your own efforts and your own performance. And it's called fake it till you make it type thing. And it's like it never, Christ is no benefit to you. You got to get rid of all that stuff that chains you down and binds you and enjoy the freedom that Christ says and by faith only. It's not a popular message, guys. People think I've got to do this, I've got to, because we've been raised that way. And we've been lied to. And people do not understand the grace of God. So he says, for we eagerly await through the Spirit by faith the hope of righteousness. Who's our hope of righteousness? Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. Amen? That's what matters. Faith working through love. And so we understand that, guys, and we need to keep preaching this message. That, you know, I talked to Johnny at the hardware store the other day. He's not somebody you would suspect would be a believer. And he told me his life. He was homeless out on South Beach in Miami. He was a drug addict and an alcoholic and all this and all that kind of stuff. And I told him, I said, but do you believe? He says, yes, I do. I'm a believer. And he says, Chuck, it amazed me. I used to work the counter and it amazed me. 95% of the people that would come up to the counter were lost. And I'm like, how would you know that? He said, you can tell. And I said, I know. They have no life in them. They're just going through the motions. I said, but when you meet another Christian, you know it. You see that light in them. And you hear that hope that they have. Because someone that's a Christian has hope. Now, I'm not talking about jumping up and down and being happy all the time. You know, I mean, some of my darkest moments were some of the closest times I was with the Lord. Some of the darkest moments in my life. I remember when I was 45, maybe 40, 45 years old. I remember just thinking my life is going backwards. And God had to tap me on the shoulder and said, Chuck, you're thinking materialistically. You don't have a house. You don't have a home. You don't even have a car. You're nothing, is what the enemy was telling me. You're nothing. You ain't got nothing. You've worked all your life, and you ain't got nothing. And I said, well, materialistically, I don't. But guess what? I got everything, because I got the Lord. And if I don't have nothing, Paul says, everything I count as a loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ. I count everything a loss. I don't care. And when you get to that point in your life, I don't care what I got physically, materialistically. It doesn't matter if even I have a place to lay my head. I know that God has a future for me. And I may not see it in this life, but in the next life, I will. And we tend to think only from A to Z. Oh, okay, I was born and now I have an expiration date. We all got an expiration date, right? And we don't know when that is. One of our buddies that worked down at Fletsy 3 or 4 weeks ago ran into the back of a truck on his motorcycle. He's done. He's gone. That can happen. And so we don't know when our expiration date is. We may live to be 100. We may die today, tomorrow. But we tend to look at life as a finite thing, and where am I at, and comparing whatever everybody else has to what we have. Quit it, guys. Think of it in the terms of a spirit. We are born again. We are washed in the blood. Guess what? We're righteous. Really? How can you say that, Chuck? Because he said I was. Read your Bible. He says, if you believe in me, you are righteous now. Wow. You are holy now. You ever thought of yourself as holy? That's what God calls you now, that you believe. And he also says you've become obedient. I'm probably one of the most disobedient persons ever was. I see a law. I told Jennifer this. She's the judge. I got to be careful what I say. Might end up in court. But I told Jennifer, I'll see the little speed limit sign that flashes. And it gives you your speed. You ain't seen nothing yet. Watch this. You think I'm going 5 over, I'll go 10 over. And that's what the law does to us, guys. We look at the law of Moses as, thou shalt not. Oh, you watch this. I'll do what I want. I'll do what I want to. And we rebel against that. That's why they call it the curse. But when we've been set free by our faith in Jesus, we can be ourselves. Isn't that cool? I remember Russell, when he first came in, he says, they came in like a suit and a tie. I think the first day. And he says he was surprised to see the pastor was dressed less than he was. And I said, that's a perfect example of what religion will do to you. Think you got to act a certain way and behave a certain way and wear a certain type of clothes. And I said, you know, we can be naked before him. That's the way he created us. And you think about that, when Adam and Eve took that bite of that forbidden tree, they realized they were naked. And what did they do? They went and tried to cover up their shame. Why? Because their eyes were opened. And they said, ooh, we're not a good thing right now. And God comes along and makes those animal skins for them, sheds the blood, signifying the remission of sin. Amen. Amen. Anybody want to add to, say anything today? We need to pray. I know, pray for Israel again. We don't know what's going on over there, but I can tell you this, guys, we don't need to worry. You know, every time I see the Middle East starting to blow up, I think, ooh, we've already gotten involved now. Uh-oh, this could be World War III. What did Jesus say? There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And we do know this, that he is coming again. He says, I'm coming back. We're not going to agree on everything. That's fine. But we can agree on how we are saved. By faith. By grace. Not by our works. So that no man can boast. If we want to boast, Paul says, I'm going to boast in him. You want to brag about something? Brag about the Lord, what he's done in your life. And we tend to start thinking, you know, I've come this far. You ever heard of the concept, I'm a self-made millionaire? No, you're not. God gave you your talents. He gave you your skills. He gave you your breath that you breathe in. The Bible says God wakes us up in the morning. And the Bible even goes further than that. It says, I give you your next breath. So we all got that expiration date, but it's not because God's a bad God. It's because he's a good God, because he's going to take this old stuff, get rid of the pain, get rid of the suffering, and bring us into a new body, a new life, and a new world with him. It's called heaven, right? Amen. When we don't know exactly what that looks like, but we know what the Lord says. No mind has imagined, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. So we haven't even, we can't even imagine what it'd be like to be with our Lord. So just rest in that, knowing that, hey, the lights may go out, the phones may go off, but we got each other and we got the Lord, and we're going to be okay. God's people are going to be okay. And evil's going to keep trying and snapping at the heel, but God has crushed the head of the serpent. Amen. And he's going to continue it. So.